And please turn to Matthew chapter 10, and I'll read from verse 5 down to verse 20 of Matthew chapter 10. So Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves, therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Amen. Last week we were reminded that there's not only one response to the gospel. We looked at verses 11 down to 15, and we saw that as Jesus sent out the disciples and as people received them or rejected them, that they were receiving receiving the Lord Jesus or rejecting him. And that they saw that they were to expect both to happen, that there would be those that would accept them, would embrace the gospel, would want to follow Christ, and that there were those who would reject him, and that Jesus in verse 15 emphasized the seriousness of that rejection. And when he said, I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Now this week I want us to look at verse 16 as Jesus begins to speak specifically about the hostility that the disciples were to face. Verse 16 says, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. And so I want us to look at this and to see, firstly, that there is danger in proclaiming the gospel. That there is danger in proclaiming the gospel. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves, Jesus says. There are two things that are particularly bad for sheep. One is to not have a shepherd, because the shepherd is the one that feeds them and cares for them and protects them. And Jesus has already spoken of how the Israelites were like sheep without a shepherd, and how he had compassion for them. And also that he was sending the 12 out to the lost sheep of Israel. But there's a second particular danger to sheep, and that is wolves. Wolves are the predator of sheep. They were a danger to them. If a shepherd had sheep out in the field, that he would use his staff to try and remove wolves as they came to try and attack his sheep. They were a constant danger. They were a constant danger, not that they were always there, but there was always the threat of wolves coming and attacking the flock. And so Jesus says here, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. But we need to notice that the metaphor has changed here. That previously that the people that Jesus was sending the disciples to were the sheep. They were the ones that Jesus had seen were like sheep without shepherds. They're the ones that he is sending them out to the lost sheep of Israel. But here now, the disciples are the sheep. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Jesus says that this is what he is doing. And so I think we're to see here implicitly that Jesus is the shepherd. That, of course, he uses that analogy, doesn't he, as he speaks of himself being the good shepherd, and that he is the one that tends and cares for his sheep. But the obvious question to ask was, well, if Jesus is the shepherd and the disciples are the sheep, why would he send them out among wolves? Why would he do that? Now, if we take a step back for a moment and we remind ourselves that Jesus is speaking about sending the 12 into hostile territory, he's already told them that there are going to be those that they go to who will accept the message, and there are those that will reject the message and reject them, and therefore reject the Lord Jesus, for he is the message that they were bringing. But of course, also the wider context, the context of the whole of the Word of God, is that there is a hostility of man towards the gospel. That just as the lost sheep of Israel didn't like to be told that they needed a saviour, that they had been unfaithful to God, that they were not acceptable to him as they are. Likewise, people in our day have the same view, haven't they? They express their hostility towards God in one way or another, either by saying they just don't want to hear anything, or by rejecting the message of the gospel, rejecting the notion that they are sinners in need of salvation. But I think particularly here Jesus is speaking about those that are outwardly hostile towards the gospel, those that are seeking to rid the land of the gospel. Jesus previously used similar language in reference to false teachers, those that put themselves up against the teaching of the scriptures, the teaching of the kingdom, those that have stood up against Jesus. In chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ferocious wolves." It seems even worse there, doesn't it, that there is a disguise to them, that they look like they're sheep, but actually they are ferocious wolves. And the point being there that if they were aware that they were wolves, that the sheep would want to flee from them. It's only when they realise that they are wolves that they will do that. And see, the false teachers would certainly want to harm the disciples and the work as they go out, because they bring a different message, a message that is the message that Jesus was proclaiming, and the message that we saw faced hostility from the religious leaders as Jesus preached and taught and performed miracles. But yet Jesus says that he is sending them out like sheep among wolves. The NIV misses out the word that's sometimes translated as "behold." Look, this is what I'm doing. I'm sending you out. But also there's an emphasis on the word "I." It's almost that I am sending you. There's an extra "I" there. I myself am sending you out like sheep among wolves. He's really emphasizing that he is doing this. He's warning them of the hostility of the environment that he's sending them into. He's making them aware that it is dangerous, the work that they are being sent to do. It's obvious, isn't it, that the disciples would clearly understand that from the language, that no sheep wants to be amongst wolves. But Jesus says, "I am sending you out." And we're to see here, aren't we, a pattern that the Father has sent the Son into a hostile world. And so too, Jesus sends his disciples out in to that same hostile world. a world that's always had a hostility towards the gospel and towards the kingdom. That's why we read the parable of the tenants before. How Jesus spoke of the vineyard of God's world and of the tenants being set in charge of it, and yet how when the servants came from the owner of the vineyard, that they were rejected. Jesus said they beat one, they killed another, and they stoned a third. But then he says, but the owner says, I'll send my son, they'll respect him. And of course, in this parable, those that have been sent, the servants, are the prophets, those that came calling God's people to come back to him. And yet we're told that they saw him as the heir, and they said, if we get rid of the heir, then we can claim the vineyard for ourselves. And so they took him and they threw him out of the vineyard and they killed him. It's a particularly chilling parable for the very fact that Jesus is speaking to people and he's saying that this is what you're going to do to me, that you're going to reject me, you're going to take me out of Jerusalem and you're going to kill me. And the point here is that there was great hostility towards the prophets. They were like sheep among wolves. There was great hostility towards the Lord Jesus. And likewise, there's great hostility towards the disciples. And yet there's to be comfort in the fact that Jesus is the one that sends us out. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves, he says. And indeed, that should make all the difference, shouldn't it? The fact that we go out in his name to do his work. You see, it would be a particularly frightening thing, wouldn't it, for a sheep to knowingly go out towards wolves. But the fact that Christ sends us, the fact that he promises to be with us always, the fact that we know that he's able to protect us and keep us in whatever circumstances. In fact, the fact that we know how he has been towards us, that he didn't hold anything back, that he laid down his life for his sheep. And therefore it's a comfort, isn't it, that he sends us out. He may send us out into dangerous territory, but he's able to keep us. And so we're not to focus in a wrong sense on the danger, but we have to be aware that it is a dangerous thing to proclaim the gospel. And yet we know that Jesus is able to protect his people because we have the benefit of the rest of the New Testament. We know what happened to the various disciples, and we know that some of them lived particularly long lives, like the Apostle John. And yet he did that despite the fact that he was sent out as a sheep among wolves. We're to take the danger seriously, aren't we? Again, depending on where we live, we wouldn't need to be told this twice. Perhaps this is something that we need to remind ourselves because we go out to people that don't seem to be hostile towards us at all, and yet then we face hostility suddenly when the message comes and we're shocked by it. There's certainly an open hostility towards Christianity from those that are kind of militant atheists and so on. But there's an increasing hostility, isn't there, towards us when we stand up for the truth of the gospel in any kind of public sphere, whether it's at a school, whether it's at a workplace and so on. That we suddenly realise that we are not amongst those that are the same as us. That we're not a sheep among sheep like we are on a Sunday, but that we're a sheep sent out into a hostile world. Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, he said, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. He foresaw the persecution coming. He knew that would be the case. He said that even some of them would be from within the fellowship there. And perhaps the greater threat to us is the threat of false teaching. I think that's certainly part of what Paul is saying there in Acts chapter 20, that the wolves come in with false teaching. I think that's the perhaps a greater threat to us here. It always saddens me when you meet someone who tells you that they're a Christian and they have a wonderful testimony, but then you find out that they seem only interested in things of miracles and healings and stuff like that. And often then they're kind of kidding themselves that those things really happened. I heard recently about a man who went forward at a service and he'd had bad arthritis, and the people put their hands on him and supposedly healed him. And he said he felt much better. And then just next time people saw him, that he was just as bad again. And these things can be damaging, can't they? They can damage people's faith, give them a wrong preoccupation, rather than seeking to serve the Lord Jesus. They have their minds fixed on other things. But if we lived elsewhere, the real threat of physical persecution would be the case. If you get the Barnabas Fund emails, you see what's going on in various parts of the world, in places like India and Iraq and Nigeria and Zimbabwe and sadly countless many others. That's those that stand up for Christ are being killed or beaten, similar to what Jesus said in that parable, those very things. And so there is danger in proclaiming the gospel. And I think we realize that, even though perhaps we don't say it in the same way, because we often hold back, don't we, from sharing the gospel with people. And that's a recognition that there is a danger, there is a cost to it. So firstly, there is danger in proclaiming the gospel. But therefore, we need to be wise. Therefore, we need to be wise. Jesus says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes. Be as shrewd as snakes. So the disciples understand the danger of the work that they're being sent to. But Jesus continues to instruct them, and he says, therefore. He's saying, because I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves, you need to be wise. Be as shrewd as snakes. He says that's what the situation needs. That as Jesus sends them out, and as they are uncertain in terms of what they're going to face, they need to be wise. Now, this phrase, shrewd as snakes or as wise as serpents, depending on what translation you have, might seem a bit strange. We often have a very negative view, don't we, of snakes or serpents. Some in that see the fact that Christians are viewed in a negative way. And I think the point here is something else. You see, that negative view of snakes and serpents is partly because of the devil, disguised as a serpent, is the one who tempts our first parents to sin. And then, of course, that is then used as an example throughout Scripture. That references to snakes or vipers or serpents are often references to evil men. Just like when John the Baptist spoke of the religious leaders as snakes and as a brood of vipers. And likewise, as Christ said to the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? But here Jesus is commending them to be like snakes, to be shrewd like snakes, or wise like serpents. He's picking up on the fact that snakes are wise, that they are able to survive in hostile environments. And the snakes that they're thinking about would live in very hot land, wouldn't they? And perhaps often in a desert environment. And that part of what they would seek to do is that they would seek to withdraw themselves from a place when it got too hot and go into the cracks in the rock to find a cool place in the heat of the day. They apparently also were good at avoiding any other predators, those that might seek to harm them in one way or another. that they're therefore good at assessing the situation. They are discerning. They have good judgment in that respect. And that's what is being commended here, that we need good discernment. We need good judgment as we go out and as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus with people. I'm sure we've all had times, haven't we, when we've tried to share the gospel with people and we've just had insults and we've tried to kind of keep going and they've just continued to insult us, and then eventually they've walked away or we've realised that we need to walk away. We need to have discernment, don't we? When to push on and when to withdraw. And that's what the disciples need to be like. They need to be wise. They've already been told that if that they're to be discerning and have good judgment about where they stay. And if they realise that their initial judgment is wrong, then they're to withdraw themselves and they're to disassociate themselves with those people that they've been staying with. You see, Jesus is saying that part of being wise is to withdraw from the way of danger. That he's not saying that we are to put ourselves unnecessarily in harm's way. You know, I'm sure we would say that it would be very unwise for one of us to go along to the local mosque or to the local Jehovah's Witness meeting and stand up and start proclaiming the gospel. It would certainly make a point, wouldn't it? It would certainly not go unnoticed, but would it be wise? See, the disciples are to be wise, they're to be as shrewd as snakes, they're to be discerning, they're to be able to assess the situation and to act accordingly. And of course we see that, don't we, in the Lord Jesus, in the way that he deals with different people at different times, what he says to them, what he doesn't say to them, and so on. How long he speaks to them, whether they are hostile towards him or not, determines the course that he takes. And so we see in that his wisdom. But also, in John's Gospel in particular, we see the threats to him physically, and we're told often that these things, that nothing came of it because it was not his time. And yet, as he came closer and closer to the cross, we're then eventually told that it was his hour, it was his time. And so Jesus didn't seek to be persecuted, he didn't seek to die, even though he knew he'd come to lay down his life. That he withdrew when there was hostility towards him. And so we're to be wise in our witness. We're to not be foolish, are we? We're not to be unwise. But if we're going to be wise, then we need God's help, don't we? That James commends us to pray for wisdom. And he tells us that God will answer such prayers. And again, it's in a context of suffering. He says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And having just spoken of trials of all kinds, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. We're to ask the Lord to help us to be wise in each circumstance that we go into. That it's wise to be aware of the danger, but it's wise to be aware of the one that is with us when we go in to such circumstances. Because we're to remember, aren't we, that we are seeking to do people good as we share the gospel with them. We're not seeking to get over a certain amount of information to them, but we're seeking to do good to them. We're wanting to call them to come and trust in the Saviour whom we love and whom we know is so precious and so glorious. Remember when King Solomon prayed for wisdom, it was because he wanted to govern wisely. He wanted to be a blessing to the people. And likewise, we should pray for wisdom to the same end, that we would be a blessing to those around us. But also, if we're going to pray for wisdom to know what to say and when to say it, we also need to have wisdom to know when to stop, when to leave things for a time, and when or when to withdraw altogether. We need to see that there's not a one-size-fits-all approach. And of course, again, we know that to an extent, don't we? We know that as we speak to someone and as they speak to us and as they tell us certain things about their life or about their understanding of things, that we change what we're saying. We're not changing the gospel, are we? We're adapting what we're saying so that it will be more helpful to them in those circumstances. And that's being wise, isn't it? If you come across someone who is very low and they feel that no one could possibly love them, and you draw near to them and try to share the gospel with them, I'm sure you wouldn't draw near to them and say, do you know what, you are such a terrible sinner. Your whole life, all you've done is sins. That you would draw near to them and you would say, look, God is a God of love. And you would commend Christ to them because of his love for sinners, that he came into the world to save sinners because of his love for sinners, and so on. And yet to someone who is self-righteous and is confident and cocky, then we might try and show them that they're not as good a person as they think they are, and that we would have a different approach. We need wisdom, don't we? We need discernment. We need to know when to talk to people and when not to. We often have children sitting outside the front door, don't we? And we can often see them as a hassle because they cause problems. But on various occasions, we've tried to engage them in conversation and tried to tell them something about what goes on in here and why we meet together and so on. And sometimes we know that it just leads nowhere. So, but last Sunday, it did lead somewhere. And we had opportunity to share the gospel with these youngsters and commend them. They wanted to listen. They had genuine questions and so on. And it was a wonderful opportunity. And yet, that wasn't always the case. We need to be discerning, don't we? We need to know when to speak and when not to, when to carry on and when to stop. So we need to be wise. But also, we need to be unthreatening. We need to be unthreatening. They don't just require wisdom. Look, therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. These two things are to be together. And again, we have a third picture or a fourth picture of an animal, or this time a bird. A fourth picture of a creature in just this one verse. And we're told that because he sends them forth as sheep among wolves, that they need to be as innocent as doves. I'm saying that there is something about the wolves that is the opposite of the innocence of doves, or the harmlessness of doves, perhaps, which is a better translation. That the wolves are seeking only to harm, and yet they are to be like doves, seeking to not harm. In fact, of course, the dove is the sign of peace. But also, it was the dove that descended upon the Lord Jesus as he was anointed for ministry, as he came out of the waters of baptism, as the Holy Spirit came down upon him. It was a dove, wasn't it? The dove of peace. A reminder again that the message of the gospel is a message of peace, a message of peace in terms of that wholeness that God wants us to be. Reconciled to him, and that through that we have every blessing in the heavenly places, as we're reminded at the beginning of Ephesians. That they are not to, when they face threat or persecution, they're not to change the way they are. They are to continue to be as innocent as doves or as harmless as doves. They're to continue with honesty and integrity. They're to continue in uprightness. They're to continue to seek the good of the people they're speaking to, even if they intend harm for them. That they're therefore to be unthreatening in their demeanour. They're to be calm, they're to be kind, they're to be gracious and loving. because that's what their Lord is like. That's what our Lord is like. That we're to commend to those we speak our Lord based on how we know him, how he's changed our lives. So not just by the words that we speak, but by our actions and our attitudes, by the gentleness of our words, by everything being seasoned with grace. So they're to show that they mean no harm by not seeking the harm of others. And so we're called here to blameless conduct. That there is a right and wrong way, isn't there, to share the gospel. There's a way that can unnecessarily provoke people. The gospel message is offensive anyway, as we've already mentioned. People don't like to be told that they're a sinner. They think of that as being reserved for those that perpetrate horrific crimes. But the gospel is offensive, isn't it? Paul tells us that that is the case. That it is the stench of death to some, but it is the fragrance of life to those that trust in Christ. And again, we're to see Christ as our supreme example of this, aren't we? We know that he never sinned. That all he ever did was for the glory of the Father and for the good of those he spoke to. Whether it was the disciples, whether it was the crowds, whether it was even his opponents. The fact that Jesus continued to talk to and to correct and to rebuke the teachers of the law and the Pharisees and the scribes. He's calling to them to repent. And so our conduct must be blameless as we seek to share the gospel. But also that we are to face persecution without striking back. That's something that's very hard, isn't it? Even in terms of a verbal thing, that we're not to get into some kind of a heated argument about the Bible or about the gospel or about the Lord Jesus. That our desire should be to win people over from their hostility to the gospel. And so when persecution comes, we're to bear it, aren't we? We're not to seek after it, but we're to bear it when it comes. We're not to respond in kind. And again, we see the supreme example in the Lord Jesus, don't we? That even though he is the Son of God, that he didn't strike out against those that persecuted him. Even though he went through the great physical anguish of being flogged and being crucified, he prayed, didn't he, from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus is commending being as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves, as he was as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves, even to his death on the cross. So if we're to be effective witnesses for Christ, we need to have both of these. I wonder how often our opportunities disappear because of being ungracious towards people, to being of lacking gentleness, of desiring to win an argument rather than win a soul for Christ. Or that when somebody is critical of us or points out something or calls us names or so, and that we end up reacting towards that in a un-Jesus-like manner. And see, we're to have confidence, aren't we, that the gospel is the power of God to save. And so, knowing that that's the case, then we are not only to proclaim that right message, but also we're to do it in the right manner. So again, it's something that we need prayer for. Because we know that we don't naturally respond well to criticism, if we know that we're likely to have that come, if we know that we're meeting with someone or a family member or whatever it is, where we often end up with things getting tense, that we ask the Lord to give us particular grace to be able to not only proclaim the gospel in the right manner, but also to proclaim the right words, rather, but also to do it in the right manner. And see, the Lord is able to protect us from such things, but sometimes he allows these things to come to us as well. And so we need to be ready for that, don't we? We need to be prayerful in our preparation as we seek to speak to people. So to sum up, we need to be aware of that, of the danger of proclaiming the gospel, but not to draw back from doing it, but to embrace the responsibility, knowing that Christ is with us and he's able to keep us. Rather, we're to be much in prayer, that we would be both wise and also unthreatening as we seek to draw people into the kingdom of God, as we seek to speak to them, as we seek to argue with them in the right sense of the word, as we seek to persuade them, and that we're to do so in that right manner. "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves," the Lord Jesus says. "Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." Amen.